Accession number 9405, Reel 1.
Mr. Young, Reel 1. Where were you born, Mr. Young?
30th of March, 1919.
And where was that?
I was born in Portsmouth.
What did your father do for a living?
He was an ex-Navy man and then a butcher.
He'd been a regular in the Royal Navy?
Yes, he'd done 25 years, he did.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
To do what?
A butcher boy.
So how did you come to be in the Navy?
There's nothing more in Portsmouth. No work. Well, there's work, but there was no factories there at the time. And so I thought, well, the best thing is to join the Navy. I joined when I was 15 years of age.
Which year did you join?
When did I join?
Which year was
that? Which year? 1934.
And what kind of job did you take up in the Navy?
It's seaman. It was seaman.
How did you like the initial training?
Very strict, and I think it was very good, quite personally.
Why do you think it was so good?
Well, because it makes me what I am today, I believe. Kept me out of trouble. Polite to people, and behaving yourself, I suppose, and respecting your elders.
Now, when the war broke out, did it take you by surprise when Chamberlain announced that we were at war with Germany?
No, not really, because we were going to exercises, and they blacked Portsmouth, I believe, one evening, one night. And we went to, as if we was at war kind of thing. So it didn't really surprise me when they did announce that we were at war. The exercises we were doing, you know, going to sea and doing all these mock-up war kind of, and things like that. And when it did come, I was unsurprised at all.
How did you and your shipmates react when you heard we were at war? Were you dismayed or pleased or what?
Well, there was a lot of singing and that. Nobody was moaning or groaning. And I'd only just joined. I'd only been on the ship a week, about a fortnight when the war broke out.
Which ship was this?
The Courageous.
Can you tell me about the Courageous, what kind of a ship she was?
Well, she was a carrier, an aircraft carrier. And I joined her in I joined the Courageous. I joined her on the 10th of August, 1939. And she got sunk on the 17th of September, 1939.
Now, what kind of a ship was she to live on? Was she
she was a big ship, and I was attached to the fleet air arm at the time. And our mess deck was below the flight deck. All the other messes, seaman's messes and soaker's messes and chief's messes, they were down below, you see. And I was only on there, the dates were told, I was only on there for about a month, I was saying. It'd be about a month from the 10th of August to the 17th of September. That'd be just over a month, wouldn't it? About 6 weeks, you see. So I didn't. It was a big ship, and we didn't know many men at the time. Because we come from different places. I came from H was Raven.
You came from where?
H was Raven, which was a. Which was an air station, Royal Naval Air Station, and we left there and went to the Courageous, you see. Well, I didn't know many. I did have one mate. I forget his name, but he got drowned. He lost his life. But apart from him, I knew nobody else at the time.
When you say you were attached to the Fleet Air Arm, what did that involve?
Well, I was the sergeant, like the sergeant's messman, RAF sergeant's messman.
Well, what did that work involve, though?
Well, that involved putting their laying their mess table and putting their food out and things like that. Done their ironing or their dobing and if they wanted anything washed.
Was she a very new ship or an old ship?
No, the Christ, she was an old ship. I couldn't tell you rightly when she was built. Who would go right back? I think she was a cruiser at one time. It's after the last war, the 1914-18 war. And I believe she then was converted into an aircraft carrier. Very old ship.
Did the age of the ship show as you were aboard?
Well, you mean?
Did it look old? Did all the facilities seem very old?
Well, I suppose it did really to other ships I went on. You know, as the years went, certain ships were built, new ships, and so they progressed. You know, they done away with hammocks and they got bunks. But the ship itself was a pretty old ship.
Did you have vermin aboard, like cockroaches?
See cockroaches in the bread cupboards and things like that, and the rats. When you laid in your hammock, you could see them coming over. The rat, if you woke up your night, you see a rat go along that ventilation shaft.
Did they bother you at all?
No, they didn't bother you. They just made their own way along the ship and.
Coming back to the Fleet Air Arm, did you get any extra pay for being attached to
that? No, I didn't, no.
Did you have anything to do with the aeroplanes?
Oh, no, nothing to do with the aircraft, no. I just looked after the mess. Well, that's what it says, messmen.
Was your uniform the same as an ordinary?
Oh, yes, ordinary bell-bottoms and round neck, yes.
Now, can you tell me about the sinking of the Courageous? Can you tell me where you were when it happened?
Yes, I was on the mess deck, and I was just doing some ironing some shirts. And as I say, our mess deck was underneath the flight deck, so you've got to imagine the ship and the flight deck. And instead of going down below to your mess, you were underneath the flight deck, you see. So to go get to the upper deck, we had to go down the ladder. And those down below had to come up to the upper deck. That gives you a picture of where it was.
Where was the ship located?
The ship itself, at sea, you mean. We were in the Irish Sea. And we got two destroyers forward and two aft. There's a screen, plastic screen. The submarines.
Do you know where the ship was heading?
Yes, we were patrolling up there because they thought that the U-boats were refueling off Ireland somewhere, off the coast of Ireland. We got an airplane up, an old Swordfish at the time.
What time of day was it when the ship was attacked?
So we got torpedoed at 2 minutes to eight.
In the morning or?
Night time.
Can you tell me what you remember of the torpedoing?
Well, as I say, I'll come back look as we go along to come into it. The captain, they received a signal to say that there was a ship in trouble so many miles away from where we were. And the captain dispatched the two forward escorting destroyers off to give them some assistance, you say. Well, it worked out. The signal was a decoy. And when we turned round into the wind to get the plane on, Swordfish, so the two torpedoes struck. And she went down in 20 minutes.
What was it like when the torpedoes
hit? Well, of course, all the lights went out, and it sheeled over, and all the lockers and things tumbled, and we had a torch, And we had a grow bear way, and you sense where it was ready to go to get to the etch, to go down to the upper deck. And that's where we made our way down.
Were there explosions?
And only the two explosions, when she hit two torpedoes, and two explosions.
Did you realise what had happened?
Oh, yes, we knew we'd been torpedoed.
Was there panic or not?
Not really. There was on the upper deck, on the flight deck, they were jumping over from the flight deck. And on board the ships, you had big planks what you used for seats when you went to church and to the cinema, you see. Well, they were throwing these over, you see, to cling onto in the water. And they were just hitting these people, the other bodies in the sea, they were just hitting them on the head, and they were, of course, they were killing them, going under the water, they just got drowned, you see. That's the panic there was. Well, we got up into one of the boats, the motorboat, with a motorboat on the davits. And, of course, they went down, they were lowered by electric, by power, you see. And all the power had gone, so we couldn't lower it. So we all jumped off, got out and gone on the upper deck again, and we slid down to the, and got on the blisters, what they call the blisters of the ship. And we stood up there, alongside there, on there, all together along. And we waited till the water came up.
Up to where?
Up to the bed here, you see.
Your chest.
And then you just swam away. And then you swam away as far as you could from the ship.
How many of you were on the blister?
Oh, it must have been about 100 of us, I suppose, 100 of us looking at it, looking at the picture now, which is down at I've got, there's three pictures at down at Nautical Club Birmingham, with I blowed up from the Daily Express, which they published it in their paper at the beginning of the war, when she went down.
How frightening was it when the torpedoes hit?
Well, you're frightened because you don't know how long you're going to be in the water, and you don't know how long you're going to be before somebody picks you up. I swam around and hanging on to bits of wood to have a break, and then the destroyers were picking up the survivors. There was the Inglefield. The Inglefield was one, but the one I got picked up by the Inglefield. Ivanhoe was another one. Intrepid was another one, I think. But I can't think of the fourth one.
Was there oil in the water?
Pardon?
Was there oil?
Oh, yes, there was oil, and some was covered in oil, but lucky enough, I wasn't. A few of us swam to, there was a merchant ship come over, and she was loaded with TNT. And we got aboard there, aboard the merchant ship, and we got then under the mess deck. And they'd run out of food anyway themselves. They got no. There was a man there. He went to climb up the ladder, the Jacob's ladder, where they lowered down, and his ankle was hanging off.
You mean his foot?
His foot. And they got him down on the mess deck, and they tell me they cut it off. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But that's what the. And then the Inglefield come alongside about midnight and took us all off. And they took us into Devonport.
So when you were swimming, you were swimming through oil, were you?
No, we swung away from where the ship went down, where all the oil patches were. We got well away from it, you see. It was only those that was hanging around where the ship, where they went over on the side, she was tilting, you see. But the oil, we were quite clear of the oil.
How long were you in the water, personally?
I got from about eight till about half eleven, I suppose. Quarter to 12, 3.5 hours.
Were you very cold?
was when, yes, it was September, and it was a cold evening, you know, that time of night. But you weren't all that cold, and you weren't freezing or anything like that. As long as you kept, if you kept moving around, you say, you was all right. But those that hung over that kept just hanging onto a piece of wood, and like that, when they were eventually picked up, all their body was froze, kind of thing. They got no movement in their body at all until they got thawed out.
You mean they were bent over?
Yes, more or less cramped, I suppose. You had to keep swimming around to keep your circulation in your body, your blood going.
Did you have a life jacket?
No, there was no life jackets. The life jackets that were the old cork ones. And they were cork life jackets, and those that did happen to have one, because the war had only just broke out, you see. And when they were jumping into the water, the jacket was hitting the neck, and it broke the neck. So that's why in the months to come, they issued these new life jackets, which you inflated and you put them round your belly, round there, and you blow them up, and you had a little light on. And that was the life jackets they had eventually all through the war.
But that wasn't too bad.
Because, as I say, the war just broke out, and the Kali floats, which tried to get into the sea, they just broke. They were all coated with paint over the years, you think, when they paint ship.
So you must have been exhausted when they got you out.
Oh yeah, you didn't kind of lay down. You just sat down and just prayed and just thank God that you got picked up.
How good a swimmer were you?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, I was only a young boy, young OD then. I wasn't very old. I was 20, I believe, about 20. And it was the older men that got lost. Got recalled into the war after the pensioners, you see.
So did you get into difficulties at all?
No.
Did you have to hang on to?
I just kept swimming, and when I got a bit tired, got hold of a piece of wood and just hung on to it.
Was there much debris in the water?
Quite a bit. Oh yes, quite a bit. Quite a bit.
How did people behave in the sea? Did they help each other on?
Oh yes, if you see somebody that was lagging, or you try to help him as much as you could, to swim along. But apart from that, the mate that was with me, he just went down. He couldn't swim at all, and of course he just went under.
You said that they couldn't lower the lifeboat, so wasn't there a method of lowering them by hand if the power failed?
Yes, but they only got them boats and them motorboats there, you see. Where we were, the lifeboats were by hand. We were stationed, you see, further on the ship.
Was there somebody in control of things on the ship when it was going down, giving orders?
No. See when the ship goes like that, the captain they announce abandoned ship, and of course that's it. Then nobody, you're on your own. No matter who you are, lieutenants or petty officers or chiefs, leading hands, you're just on your own. Nobody organises anything.
Just every man for himself.
Every man for himself.
Did you see the captain?
No, he went down with the ship. Bagney Jones, his name was Captain Bagney Jones. Don't ask me how you spell Bagney.
What was the morale of the crew when you got rescued by the destroyer?
Very, very good. Oh, very good. The crew of the Inglefield, they were excellent to us. They gave us air hammocks to lay in. They had to give us their clothing, because we got no clothing on. And cigarettes, and give us cigarettes, and there, but it was marvellous when we got into Devonport, you know, and got kitted out, and of course we went straight on leave then, you see.
For how long?
We had 14 days leave then, as far as leave.
Did you lose all your possessions?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, everything.
Did you lose anything valuable?
No, nothing what you call value, only money. I suppose you'd call that as value. It was only a few coppers, but nothing. There was nothing there of any importance that I lost.
Now, can we go on to HMS Javelin?
Yes.
When did you join her?
Well, I'll tell you the name before we go on to that. I can tell you the man that sunk the Courageous. His name is Schuart, Commander Schuart, U-boat 39.
How did you find that out?
When I went there, it was a man from Yelverton, Y-E-L, then in Devon, little village, and he wanted to get in contact with survivors from the Courageous, and I wrote to him, and eventually I went down to see him, and he was writing a book. And the reason he was writing the book was his father had gone down on the Courageous. He was a chief cook. And he wasn't satisfied with the outcome of the court of inquiry. Well, she went down so quick. But he wrote to the Admiralty, and he got all the details, because you can write to the Admiralty, and after 30 years they would give it to you. And they give you the exact position, exactly where we were. And they thought we were the Ark Royal. Commander Schuart did. He thought we were the Ark Royal he torpedoed. But eventually, because he realised it was the Courageous afterwards. But that was the man that sunk us, Commander Schuart.
Did you and the rest of the crew discuss the fact that the Courageous had gone down quickly?
Oh, yes, after we came back, you know, and we met one or two after, we were surprised why it did go. And the reason was there was no watertight doors shut or things like that, you know. That's why she went.
The
watertight doors, what they call watertight doors. There wasn't enough discipline on the ship at the time to make sure these were shut. Because a lot of them come aboard in their civvies. These people have been called up, you see. And that's why I think she went so quick.
Because of the hostilities on the people.
Yes, the people. I'm not saying the people. The doors that weren't shut. It should have been shut. They were left open.
But you think that was because of the inexperience of the
crew? I think, myself personally, it's only my personal opinion, I wouldn't say that's what it was. But for a ship like that to go down in 20 minutes, it doesn't make sense to me. But it did.
So, coming on to the Javelin, can you tell me when you joined her?
No, yes, I'll tell you when I joined the Javelin. I joined HMS Javelin in February 1940, and I left there in the 29th of November 1940. That's when we got it.
What kind of a ship was the Javelin?
She was a one-funnel destroyer, J-class.
How did she compare with the Courageous to be on, as far as you were concerned?
Well, I love the Javelin, and she was a lovely ship. She was modernised in at that time. It's what the Courageous was. The officers were easy to get on with. I was a batman to Lieutenant Ryan, sub-Lieutenant Ryan, who was a Dutchman.
A Dutchman?
He came from Holland, yes, he came from Holland.
How did he spell his name?
No, I don't know, you've got me now. Van Ryan, V-A, that's it, Lieutenant Van Ryan, that's it, V-A-N, V-A-N, R-Y-A-N, I would think, I'm not sure, but always he's batman.
What did that involve?
Well, waking him in the morning and with a cup of tea, and make sure his boots were all polished, his shirt's ironed, clean, made his bed, and cleaned his cabin.
How did seamen like doing a job as a batman? Did they like to do that job or not?
Some don't, some do. I did. I loved it. I got a little bit of extra money for it, for that one.
You got more pay for it?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, but I had the privileges. I got more, a little bit more privilege than what another man did. I was excused duties and things like that.
What kind of duties would you be excused?
Well, like working on the upper deck and things like that. Detail for working party, I think.
Was that cleaning work?
Yeah, cleaning work, yeah, in other words. So of course, going to sea, I had to do me... I was on the pump on the action station and things like that.
Which pom-pom was that?
It's a four-barrel pom-pom.
Where was it located?
In the midships, beyond the funnel, abaft of the funnel.
Oh, what kind of a crew would the pom-pom have?
I think coming back now. I think it'll be about four of us, I suppose, four or five of us. I can't rightly remember.
What job would you have on the pom-pom?
I was trainer, the pom-pom ring.
Turning the wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Now...
And you had two, that was me, the defence station. Now, my acting station was on the point five. But the point five was starboard side of the bridge. That was my acting station.
And what was your job on the point five?
Firing it. You know, because you're only one man, you see, on them. A .5 is like an automatic gun, and the only difference was it was on a stand, and you swing it round, you strap yourself in, and when the aircraft comes down, you just go around.
Like a machine gun.
Yeah, just like a machine gun.
Did you see any action on the Javelin before she was sunk?
Well, we bombarded along with the Renown, and I suppose the Renown, which is a battleship, and some more destroyers. I can't remember who they were, but we were the flotilla leader, and we bombarded Cherbourg.
When was that?
That was in. That was. That was in. That was. I can't remember. I wouldn't like to beat the April, I suppose, April or May, something like that, during that latter part of 1940. What date it was, I can't remember.
This was at the time of the fall of France?
Yes, that's right. We bombarded Cherbourg.
Can you remember what happened at the bombardment of Cherbourg?
Darkened ship. It was all darkened ship, and then we opened up with our 4.7. We went right. We went.